subject of evangelism, sharing the gospel message, because that is what evangelism is. It's about sharing the gospel message, either through public preaching, as I'm doing this morning, or through you sharing your personal testimony, your personal witness. Now, if you're here in church today and you're new to church, or you're new to the Christian faith, and you're maybe thinking, well, what is this gospel that we keep hearing about this year? What is the gospel message? Well, if you're taking notes, very quickly, sin entered the world and created a divide between man and God, a loving father. There was a price to pay for our sin, a debt. And God gave up his only son, Jesus. And Jesus died on a cross for our sins to pay our debt off. Hallelujah. We have been set free from sin and shame because Jesus died on a cross for us to pay our debt off. He died for us. But the story does not end there, because 3 days later, he rose victoriously from the tomb. Amen? It's not too early to start to get into that position for Easter. He rose victoriously from the tomb, which means that we can be risen from our sin and our death to know God as a loving Father. But he did not leave us alone. No, he did not abandon us, because he promised us that he would never leave us, nor would he forsake us. So he gave us his Spirit, as he promised. And for those of you that are here this morning, that believe that, that have received Jesus as your Lord, then he gives you the right to be called his children. And the Spirit of God lives in you. Amen. That is the gospel message in a nutshell. And that is the message that we as evangelicals have been called to share, whether through public preaching, as I've said, or through personal testimony, sharing your faith. So let me share with you this morning the vision that God has given to me this year. And the Women to Women ladies know this. It is the vision that has been given to Women this year, that it's all about the light. It's all about shining your light. It's all about sharing the gospel message. So I want to share it with you, our church, today. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm not going to read it all, but there's a lot of good stuff in there. When you read 6 and 7. For God said, let light shine out of darkness. And he made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory, which is displayed in the face of Jesus. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Amen. We're going to look at the power today. These are words spoken by Paul in his letter, in his epistle to the church in Greece. This is his second letter. Paul, in all of his letters, encourages the church to concentrate, to focus on what is important. You see, they had failed to see what was important. They'd got derailed. They'd got sidetracked. They'd got distracted. I wonder if you know what that feels like. According to scholars during my research, there seems to be a change, a shift in tone from Paul between 1 Corinthians, his first letter, and this one, the second. There's a frustration that's set in. It's a bit like when you sit your child down to have a chat with them about their bad behavior or not cleaning the room or tidying the room. And you sit down with them and you have a word with them. And the first time that you speak to them, not looking at anyone, first time you speak to them, you're sitting there, you're full of patience, you're full of compassion. Right, son, right, darling, this is what's good for you. Now, the first time you do that, you're full of compassion and patience. But the second and the third and the fourth time you have to do that, and sit down and have that conversation, a frustration sets in. And that's what's happened to Paul, you see. So the believers in the church in Corinth have become sidetracked. Unfortunately, they were turning away from the gospel message. We know that what that is now, because we've just heard that a couple of minutes ago. They turned away from the gospel message, and they had turned to their own ways, their own opinions. their own principles. So a lot of what has happened in the church here is that they're moving away from the truth of the gospel and they're creating their own kind of gospel, if you like, a gospel that suited them. Well, let me tell you something, church, that's not the gospel. We cannot treat the word of God like a buffet. You can't have a little bit of this, but oh no, I'll not bother with that. We have to eat it in its entirety. We can't bend the truth to suit ourselves. We can't do that. That's not the gospel. So what was happening here was that the believers were looking to new teachers, more popular teachers, more charismatic teachers. They were having their ears tickled, if you like. And these new teachers were delivering a message that was popular. And what was happening to Paul is that Paul was being criticized and he was becoming less popular. Why? Well, because Paul was speaking the undiluted truth of the gospel message. And it was making folk feel uncomfortable because that message they did not want to hear. No, they didn't want to hear this message. They didn't want to hear the truth because the truth hurts, doesn't it? But let me tell you something. It's the truth that sets you free. It's the truth that sets you free. You see, they were allowing themselves to be content. They were allowing themselves to settle and to compromise. And let me tell you something, that does not change a thing. That will not transform your soul. And it certainly will not save your soul. And we see it throughout the world today. This is happening today. It wasn't just back then. People rejecting certain aspects of the gospel because it fits better with their lifestyle. They don't want to be convicted. And it's not just individuals. This is happening today within church, within churches today, where the Sunday sermon is being diluted. The gospel is being altered. Why? Because of popularity. Because we want to gain popularity. We want to maintain numbers. We want likes and we want follows and we want to be popular and we don't want to upset anyone. So let's preach a message that makes people feel comfortable rather than convicted. I'll say it again. This is not the gospel. Now note that I said convicted and not condemned. For you see, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Conviction is when the father sits on the end of the bed like he does with his child and says, look, there is a better way. And he leads you into the desert and he speaks to us tenderly. So it's not condemnation, it's conviction. But the gospel without conviction is not a gospel at all. We are all sinners, are we not, and fallen short of the glory of God. The glory of God being Jesus, the exact representation of God. He is the only one without sin. Therefore, we are all sinners. So Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, he says this, we reject all shameful deeds and underhanded methods. We don't try to trick anyone or distort the word of God. Instead, what do? We tell the truth before God and all who are honest know it. So it's not about how good the preacher looks. Although I hope you like my dress. It's not how good the preacher looks. It's not how good they sound. It's about, is Jesus being glorified in and through the message that is being delivered? You see, it's not about us. It's about him. Now, church, at this point, the church that Paul was speaking to thousands of years ago, we had all become a bit self. But let's be honest, we couldn't be living in a more self-centered, egotistical, all about me kind of world than the world in which we're living in today. In fact, popularity, likes and follows has seeped into every part of our culture today. Take social media. People are making a lot of money today, influencers, on the basis of popularity, likes and follows. So what Paul was trying to do was trying to get the church to take their eyes off of that which is false, exaggerated, distorted, and untrue, and look once again to Jesus, to look to the truth, to steer away from listening to popular false teachers and look to Jesus. listen to Jesus. You see, it's not about us. It's about He who lives in us. We read that. We're not preaching about ourselves. It's about Jesus who is in us, who made His light shine in our hearts so that the glory of God could be displayed in the face of Jesus Christ. And the message that we preach, it's the gospel message. It's the gospel message of truth about who He is, about what He's done, and who we are to Him. That is the message. And that is the message that we are to share as evangelicals. So Paul then goes on to talk about treasure. Everyone say treasure. Treasure that is contained within clay jars. In fact, he says to the people then and to us today that we are like fragile clay jars. Other translations, earthen vessels, clay pots. Now I find this hilarious. Because Paul's addressing a self-important, popularity-driven, egotistical, fame-hungry people. And he's saying, and by the way, you're just a simple clay pot. It's the complete antithesis of what they desired at that particular time. Now, the clay pot was a simple item, widely available, used by everyone, and you would find it in every market, in every village, in every town. It was used by everyone. And here Paul's saying to everyone around him at the time, you're just a simple clay pot. Now, as well as being widely available, used by everyone, inexpensive, clay pots were fragile and they were so easily broken, cracked, round the edges. And well, church, we as human beings are simple, broken at times, flawed, chipped round the edges. I mean, I know I've got a few cracks, and I've certainly met a few crackpots. Have you? So Paul here was making the point to this power and popularity-driven people, not unlike the world in which we live in today. It's not about us. It's all about Jesus. In fact, we read in Galatians, Paul writes this, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. It's about Christ in us. However, even though that is the case, even though we are simple, even though we are cracked and fragile and vulnerable and a bit rough round the edges, we contain a great treasure. We contain a light within us, a treasure within us. And we have been called by God to shine our light. Take a very expensive jar of Manuka honey. Have you seen the price of Manuka honey? It's good stuff. That's contained within a simple glass jar. But let me tell you about the glass jar. The glass jar is very inexpensive. It's just a glass jar. But it's the honey. It's the good stuff that is contained within the Manuka honey that makes it valuable, that makes it expensive and treasured. And well, church, we might be simple clay jars, but we contain a great treasure. And it's the light of the gospel. It's the treasure of truth. I mean, if you were to drop a jar contained, filled with water, that would smash and the water would pour out everywhere, spill everywhere, and you'd lose it. If you drop and smash a clay pot that contains light, that light only spreads further and brighter. You see, you may crack me, you may chip me, you may use me and you may abuse me, but you cannot take the light of Jesus Christ from me. And that is true of you. And everyone here this morning that has given their life to Jesus Christ, you contain this treasure. And you might be vulnerable and weak and fragile, but you're actually very special and you're very treasured to God. And you have a light within you, the light of the gospel, the light of your testimony, and it's that we've been called to share. to evangelize. The fact that you feel fragile, the fact that you feel vulnerable, well, that does not disqualify you because you contain a power within you. Now, we've been looking at this at Women to Women. One of the reasons why we perhaps hold back from evangelizing, one of the reasons that prevents us from not sharing our testimony, for instance, is because we feel fragile. It's because we feel weak and we feel inadequate and we feel unworthy or ill-equipped. But let me tell you something. You contain a great treasure, and your brokenness and your vulnerability and your weakness does not disqualify you from sharing that. In fact, Jesus commanded us, Matthew 5, you are the light in the world, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. Instead, set it on a stand and give it light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, of course, Jesus is the ultimate light of the world. We sang it earlier. We, as the bride of Christ, are to be like a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. But you too are a light in this dark world. You too can be a candle that burns brightly for Jesus, sharing the gospel message, whether that be in your homes, in your neighborhoods, at the gym, at university, within your church. You see, church, that is evangelism. But so often we shy away from it because we feel weak and we feel fragile, just like the simple clay pot. But what else does Paul say and remind us of? Well, he says that my grace is sufficient for you, 2 Corinthians 12. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, what are we going to do then? We're going to boast all the more gladly about our weaknesses. We're going to boast all the more gladly about the fact that we're cracked and a bit rough round the edges and we've been broken a few times. We're going to boast all the more gladly about our weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on us. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. What we're talking about are cracks. For when I am weak, I thought you would finish that off. Do that again. For when I am weak, I am strong. Say it like you believe it. Paul understood something, and he wants us to understand it today, specifically in relation to evangelism, is that we may feel weak, and we may feel fragile, and we may feel ill-equipped and unqualified because we feel fragile and weak. But let me tell you something. He has given you his strength, and he's given you his power, and he will supply you with everything you need to go in his name and to go in his power. So not only has he given us all of that, but he's also given us his authority. Church, God is calling us as his children to go forth in his power and with his authority. So let's go back to the beginning of time, to the Garden of Eden, and to the first command that God gave to man, when God first gave man authority. Genesis 1:28, what did he say to Adam? Be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. He's giving him authority. Then in chapter 2, we see God giving Adam another responsibility, this time to look after the animals. He says he brought them to the man to see what he would name them. He was given the job of naming them. And whatever the man called each living creature, which was by name, so the man gave the names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and the wild animals. So what do we see here? We see God giving Adam authority to tend, to look after, to care for. Now, here's the thing. God could have done that himself. He's the Almighty God. But here we see him giving Adam responsibility, giving Adam authority. In church, we too have been given a garden to tend to. My garden will look different to your garden. I'll have different responsibilities and jobs and ministries to take care of. I'll have different people to take care of than what you have. But God has given you a garden to tend and a garden to care for. So what has God entrusted to you? Think about that for a moment. Who has God given you authority to care for? Is it within your own home? Within your marriage, your children? Your job? What has he given you authority to care for? Is it the children in your class? An elderly parent that you're looking after? Is it a patient in your ward, your family, your ministry, the ministry in which you care for and lead on or serve in here? As you go about your business, as you go about your father's business this week, tend to the things in which God has encouraged you and empowered you to tend to. Or pray. Pray for the things that God has called you and given you authority to pray for. Let's not underestimate, church, the power that is within. The treasure that is contained within us, simple clay pots. He is calling us to go forth. To go in his power and go in his name and take the authority that he's given us to do that. So are you going to do it? Are you going to do it this week? Don't believe me? Just look at what David says in Psalm 8 verse 6. Speaks of God and he says, you gave them charge over everything that you made. Not just some things. Everything. Putting all things under their authority. Another Old Testament word for authority that we see is dominion. God has given us dominion. He's given us power and authority. It's been given to us to go out there and tend. Let's pop to the New Testament and to the Great Commission. We've heard it several times this year. I'm sure you'll hear it more. Therefore, go, he says. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you, and surely I am with you to the very end of the age. Love that little bit of encouragement at the end there. That as we go, we don't go alone. He goes with us. So what is he saying? He's saying, I'm giving you my authority. I'm calling you to go forth. And do you know what? He says, you're going to do great things. Great things. He says, very truly I tell you, John's Gospel, whoever believes in me will do the works that I've been doing, and they will do even greater than these, because I am going to the Father. He's saying that we have the ability to go forth in his power and in his authority and do great things. This is evangelism. So yes, we may well be weak. We may be fragile, chipped around the edges. Doesn't disqualify us. He's gifting us with his power and with his strength, and he's giving us his authority to go. So you may be thinking, okay, I hear that. I get that. He's the light of the world. I'm a fragile clay pot, but I contain a treasure. I contain a light, and I've been called to do that. So how do I do that exactly? How do I do that? Well, as we've been talking all this year, evangelism, sharing the good news, the glad tidings that brings joy, sharing that message that I mentioned at the very beginning this morning, sharing the truth about who God is, who Jesus is, and what he has done for you. That is one way that we can do that, by sharing the treasure. And if you haven't already asked the Father to present you an opportunity to share with your nearest and dearest this year the love of Christ, can I encourage you? Pray. Ask him. Ask him to present you an opportunity to do that. Now, another way we can do this, another way we can go in his power, and Pastor Hughes talked about this already this year, is through prayer. We are currently engaged in praying for the lost. Their names are written on our cross here. Their names are written in the Father's heart. And we've been praying for the lost. For the Father's desire is for none to perish, but all to come to full repentance. And this morning I want to finish off and look at the fact that God has given you his authority in this particular area, in the area of prayer. Just look at what Jesus commanded, Matthew 10. He spoke to his disciples. Just look at the authority that's given here. And he says, heal the sick. Raise the dead. When was the last time he did that? Raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Go and do this. Yes, Jesus does this. Yes, he can do this. But he's saying that we have been given authority to go and do that. He also says in Luke's Gospel, recorded in Luke's Gospel, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the powers of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. Praise God. Just look at what Jesus is speaking to us today. He's giving us authority to go in his name. He is giving us his strength and his power to go, to lay hands on the sick, to pray in faith, to intercede for the lost, to anoint with oil, as it says in James, it's written on our wall there next to the cross, to pray against Satan and his evil schemes. He has given us the authority to do that. Do you believe it? So, church, let me ask you again. Are you taking authority over what God has entrusted to you? Are you speaking and are you praying with authority? Let's not underestimate the power that is contained within us, fragile clay pots. So the next time you have got a problem with toxic Tony in the office, can I offer you a suggestion this morning? Sorry if your name's Tony. The next time you've got a problem in the office, go half an hour earlier. Go an hour earlier before everybody else arrives. And you take authority over that atmosphere. And you walk around that office space. And you go over to Toxic Tony's chair. And you lay your hands on his chair. And you say, Lord, this man has become a bad influence and there's a toxic atmosphere in here and I don't know what's causing this man to be broken. I know he's hurt because hurt people hurt other people and he's hurting everybody in this office. So in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray that you would shift the atmosphere in here. And I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that this place will become a place of peace. And I pray, Almighty God, that you would bless Tony, because Danny encouraged you of that last week. You'd bless him in the mighty name of Jesus. And I pray, Lord God, that you would open up his heart to see that it's only you, Jesus. And that you are the way, and you are the truth, and you are the life. You have been given the authority to change the atmosphere, because the light and the treasure and the power is contained within you. So the next time you've got a problem in the office, you take that authority to the office with you. Is it within your own home? Has the enemy got into your home? Can I encourage you, when you go home today, you open up every window and you open up every door and you command the enemy to get out of your house. Is it within your own marriage? Are you struggling in your marriage just now? Can I encourage you, when you go home later on today, you go to that marital bed and you lay hands on that bed, and in the mighty name of Jesus, this marriage will be filled with romance, intimacy, passion. Yes, I said it. That this marriage will be united. That we will have harmony. That we will be blessed. And Satan will not get his hands on my marriage. Is it your teenage child? Do you have a wayward teenager and all you're doing is fighting, doors slamming and huffs? You can go into their room and you can anoint their door frame with oil. Yes, you can. It's just olive oil. I'm sure you've got it in the cupboard. And you can lay hands on their bed and you can say, Satan, get your hands off my child. That my child, you can declare his promises. That my child will be taught of the Lord and great will be their reward. You can write scripture and you can hide it under their mattress. Don't worry, they won't find it. They don't clean their room. It'll be hidden there. In the mighty name of Jesus, the enemy will flee from this home, and this house will be under new management, under the management of Jesus Christ. This is how we take authority in prayer. Are you sick? Are you sore today? Are you battling with disease today? Lay hands on your own body. Do it now. Touch her body where it's sore in the mighty name of Jesus. Jesus bled and he died not just for my sins but for my sickness. So I take authority over sickness in my body, which is living illegally in my body. And in the mighty name of Jesus, I declare I'll be whole and I'll be well in Jesus' name. Are you on our prayer ministry team? Are you a member of the prayer ministry team? Let me tell you something. You take authority over sickness in the mighty name of Jesus. And not just physical sickness, mental sickness. In the mighty name of Jesus, this individual has been blessed with a sound mind. So depression, anxiety, go in the mighty name of Jesus. Church, don't you see? God has called us to go in his name, to go in his power. He's given us authority. He's given us power. Yes, you feel fragile. Yes, you feel weak. Yes, you're just a simple clay pot, but you contain a great treasure. You contain a great power. And this year, God is saying to us as a people, go forth. Go forth in my name. I'm getting to the end. You can come back. Go forth in my name because I've given you strength and I've given you power. And let's see the lost come home because we took authority over that loved one that is currently separated from God the Father. So in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray that the lost will come home. We pray, Almighty God, that you would unveil their eyes and that they would see you in the fullness of your glory. So Lord God, would you use us? As we are, simple, fragile, clay pots. But Lord, by your Spirit, would you move in us as a people? And let's not get scared with evangelism. Let's take it on, head on. Let's be excited by it. Because God has given us the authority to go. And we don't go in our own strength. So let's go forth. He's commissioned us to go. And let's take authority and boldly shine that light and share that treasure for Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you that we present ourselves to you today, vulnerable, weak, fragile. We're chipped around the edges. We've been used and abused. We've been broken several times over. But we thank you, Lord God, that we can declare that you are good. We thank you, Lord, that you are the master potter. And we are the clay in your hands. And that you can mold us and you can shape us into the men and women and children of God in which you created us to be. We are created by you, God. So, Lord, as individuals and as a church, would you mold us and shape us for your glory? And as we've heard today, Lord, let us not be afraid to shine our light. May we never be afraid to share the treasure. And may we go forth and in the power and in the strength and in the authority and which has been given to us by you, O Lord our God. And as we go forth, O Lord, by your Spirit, would you change the atmosphere? Lord, would you save our loved ones? Would the lost come home? And may we see, Father God, all our loved ones standing alongside us in this house, praising you, Jesus, because we have gone forth and shone our light. In Jesus' name. Let's stand together as we praise and worship.
When I went to Africa and I saw all the clay pots lying, and it said,